Well, it's been quite a week for me anyway, and for a number of people in our congregation, because Friday night and most of Saturday we were in a retreat here, and our retreat focus was the emotionally healthy church, and so we enjoyed our time together. And it's good to shift gears a little bit and to come together to worship this morning. So how do we understand faithfulness? In my thinking, and as I've done praying and thinking on this, I think one of the things that I understand faithfulness is that faithfulness is at the heart of a covenant. So we think the covenant of marriage, faithfulness is an important foundational concept in marriage. It's the heart of the covenant. Think of faithfulness in parenting. How children need to know that their parents are going to be faithful to them. Faithful in the sense of protecting them. Faithful in the sense of loving them. Faithful in the sense of guidance and discipline. Faithful in allowing them to make mistakes that they can learn from. Faithfulness in enjoying them and having fun with them. And so faithfulness is part of the parenting covenant. Faithfulness is also, And I know we don't see life this way, but faithfulness is also a way of how we take care of ourselves. And some of you might think, well, that's a stretch. But think of it. How you take care of yourself is very important. In a sense, it's a covenant we have to ourselves, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and mentally. These are different areas of our lives that if we don't take care of them, they get out of balance, they get out of skew, they skew out, and our life becomes imbalanced. And so faithfulness enters our life in a very profound way. But faithfulness, think of faithfulness as also the center of the covenant of our church. As we relate to each other, as we are faithful in our giving and faithful in our relationships within the church, faithful in praying for each other, faithful in expressing concern and love and compassion. All these things are part of the church covenant that's so powerful and so deep. And you wonder how deep it is when the divorce happens, that faithfulness gets split in a marriage and in a church. The faithfulness becomes something that if it's a split in the church, it hurts painfully. Many years ago, I was a pastor in southern Manitoba, and we did a pastoral exchange, and I went to one of the towns that I was supposed to exchange, be the pastor, speak that morning. And I got to the church, and I think one of the things I forgot to do was phone ahead and tell them I'm coming. I guess I just made an assumption they would know I'd be coming. But I got there and they didn't really prepare a lot for me for coming. And what happened was that there had just been a split in the church. And so you can imagine how that impacted the church, how that impacted me. It's like, whoa, I had no idea. I was coming into a tough situation and where this church had just gone through a split. And you know that the covenant between these two groups of people had been destroyed. And it hurt deeply. And at the heart of that covenant was a sense of faithfulness to each other. That had been destroyed. And so faithfulness, at the core of faithfulness is this definition. It's a character that can be relied on. And this is what I think Paul was talking about when he talked about this as a fruit of the Spirit. This is a character, faithfulness is a character that can be relied on. And when you think of that, it really fits the biblical direction of faithfulness. And so this morning I would like to look at faithfulness in four areas. It's in terms of character. I see faithfulness is something that helps our character develop into the likeness of Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit, but I see this in sort of four areas. One area is that faithfulness helps our character develop in the likeness of Jesus through boundaries that are set. Faithfulness helps develop our character in Jesus because it gives a purpose and direction in life. And faithfulness helps us develop our character towards compassion by going through a lot of brokenness and trials and temptations. And then faithfulness helps us develop our character as we grow deep in the love of God. So let's go to the first one just briefly. Faithfulness helps our character because it helps set the boundaries for us. A while back, I was talking to a young man who was planning to get married, and I don't know how we got on this part of the conversation, but he said, you know what, if someone, you know, who's married and they go to another city and they go there and there's a conference, and at this conference they meet somebody and they have sex that night and so on, and his wife would never know about it, would that affect the faithfulness? And I tried to challenge them. Yes, you've gone past your boundaries. You've extended this, gone past your boundaries, and you've been unfaithful to your wife. Well, he had a hard time hearing that. But that's how faithfulness would help to set boundaries for this person. Think of athletes who practice and people who have are professionals. They have certain boundaries they have to go within that helps them to do what they choose to do in a high, could be in academics or in athletics or in any other area. Faithfulness to that helps them set some boundaries. They will not get involved in this kind of life or that part of life because they choose to excel in this one area. And so athletes would have a hard time if they aren't faithful to their sport, faithful to their rules, faithful to their bodies. It would be very difficult to develop as an athlete. And so faithfulness is really at the heart of the boundaries. And one person that I think demonstrates this so much in Scripture is Joseph. Joseph, this young man, he's about the 12th child, son of this, of Jacob. And so as I look on him, I think he had to set some boundaries. And some boundaries were set for him. So he had this dream. He had a dream that, you know, the sheaves of the field, there were 12 sheaves, and they all bowed down to him. And he had another dream that the sun and the moon and the stars all bowed down to him as well. And he shared these dreams with his brothers, and you can imagine how that would impact his brothers. They would say, who do you think you are? You know, you think we're going to bow down to you? You think all this is going to happen? And Joseph had to set these boundaries. He couldn't walk away from that that sense of calling that he had. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but it was some of the boundaries that were set for him by God. And it helped shape and form his character. And so, I'll repeat some of these in a number of different settings, but think of the boundaries that he had to have with Potiphar's wife. And as you know the story, Joseph became the head slave or head person in over all the Potiphar's wealth, and Potiphar was apparently quite a wealthy man and involved in the structure of the Pharaoh. He had an important position there. And so he set some boundaries as to his life. When he was in prison, he set some boundaries to his life, and he became this person that the prisoner, they trusted him, and eventually he told some other dreams, he interpreted dreams. Think of the boundaries he had to have when he became next to the Pharaoh and was administering all this grain and all the things that had to happen. And so Joseph had to have some boundaries that were so helpful in keeping him faithful. And so we think of faithfulness in many different elements of life. Think of faithfulness in marriage, faithfulness in work, faithfulness in friendship. Faithful boundaries help us to set limits on what we can do. Boundaries help us to set limits on how we relate to other people, how we use our gifts and talents and so on. And so I think boundaries help us develop. Faithfulness helps us develop within the boundaries of life that God has given us. Faithfulness also helps to shape and form our character and gives us a direction in life. Pam talked about going on this pilgrimage, and certainly that was a direction that you were given, and as you go on this pilgrimage, there's some things that start to unfold you. It's a direction that God was leading you in this past spring. And that was so true in the life of Joseph. He understood the direction of God in his dreams. And although he didn't understand the dreams all the way, he rose to leadership through those. He rose to leadership in Potiphar's house, in the prison, and eventually under Pharaoh. And faithfulness helped his character develop in the direction he was going. So even though he went through all these difficulties and problems, he still kept his direction clear. And it helped him to develop his character of maturity, his character of being able to trust in God, his character of being able to recognize that God had a bigger hand in this than he could have ever imagined. And so faithfulness had to do, one element was the direction that it helped him to stay secure in. And so in our own lives, and as I think back of my life, I think of how God has directed us and has changed us, has changed me through the directions of life. Originally, Carol and I were planning to go overseas, and that didn't work out. And then we changed in a few other directions along the way, and some of them were more intense and some of them were less. But God has used these to change our character, to help our character develop in the likeness of Jesus. And maybe you can look back and you realize, you know what? Yeah, there's been some things that have helped, that have decisions we've made through prayer and through understanding, and God has been faithful as you go through them. It hasn't been easy. It's been difficult. But God has been faithful and has helped to form and shape you and me and all of us because we've gone on this journey. And so we thank God for his faithfulness, even in setting direction in our lives. Faithfulness also helps shape our character through the brokenness, through the trials, through the struggles we go through. And I think it helps us to have a heart of compassion. Let me just illustrate that for a moment. You remember that Joseph never compromised himself. He never compromised himself, and he was in the cellar and he was sold into slavery. He never compromised himself as he was in slavery as a slave in Potiphar's house or in prison, or even in Pharaoh's house. And in Genesis chapter 45, I'll just read verses 4 to 11, and you'll get a sense that Joseph saw this. Joseph had such a compassion for his brothers. And so he says, "And then Joseph said to his brothers," and this was after a time, and finally he revealed himself to him. And you can imagine these brothers are like, "Really? You're a brother? That would be amazing." And he said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." And he asked the question, "Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me on ahead of you. For 2 years now, there have been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me, but God. He made my father to Pharaoh, lord to his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what you say to Joseph. This is what Your son Joseph says, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. And so there's a sense of compassion that Joseph had with his brothers. This compassion was amazing. He could have been bitter. He could have been, taken revenge on them. He could have put them into prison. They would have never known who he was. But when he revealed himself, when he became vulnerable, they realized, you know what? There's compassion here. And so instead of serving them judgment, he served them compassion. And as I think of the trials and the struggles that I've been through, that perhaps that you've been through, how does God in his faithfulness use those? Does he use them to bring compassion? Does he use them to bring a sense of brokenness and vulnerability and openness? Or do we kind of close out the door and do we say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to keep that bitterness in my soul. I'm going to keep that revenge. I want to take revenge. And you know what? I think the lesson that we have is faithfulness. When God brings us through these elements, brings us through these difficulties, he brings us through these trials, he wants to change our heart to a heart of compassion. And so this is so critical as we think of the faithfulness in Scripture as we've looked at it this morning. A number of years ago, I attended a restorative justice retreat or a workshop. And one of the stories that they talked about was about a man who had killed this guy's son, and he was in prison, a life sentence. And through the restorative justice program, they were able to come and start to think about how they could meet, what would happen if they would meet. And it's amazing to see, having gone through this father, having gone through all the struggle and the difficulty of his son being murdered, and this guy who had committed the murder, and somehow they got face to face. And what came out of that was not more bitterness, more revenge, but what came out of that was compassion. And so there was a sense of faithfulness that this process, this restorative justice, would help them to reach that place of compassion. And you know what? There's something deep that happened in those two men, because they actually got to know each other over time and actually became friends. And I know that sounds, that goes counterculture to our culture today, because most people, when they want justice to happen, okay, they're just going to throw them into prison. But here was an instance where they were able to come close to each other and understand each other and have compassion for each other. Was this man ever released from prison? I don't believe so. But they had this relationship that couldn't have happened any other way. And so that's a demonstration of how compassion can have a powerful impact in changing our character, in changing how we reach out to people and love people with a foundation of faithfulness. So faithfulness also develops our character in centering our lives in God. Joseph tells his brothers, and I read this before, you did not send me here, but God sent me here. I'm sure that if you would have asked Joseph when he was in the well and say, Joseph, did God send you here? He'd have said, no, no way. Perhaps when he was in prison and you would ask Joseph, did God send you here? No. As a matter of fact, he asked the butler and the baker to, you know, when you get up to Pharaoh, tell him that I'm down here. I don't deserve to be here. He didn't want to be there. But when it came down and his brothers bowed down to him, all of a sudden he realized that dream that God had given him way back there when he's a young man, all of a sudden came true. And so faithfulness really has to center our lives in Jesus, center our lives in God. When I think of the life of Jesus, and I don't want to go into a lot of details, but think of the life of Jesus, how faithfulness helped him center his mission, his direction. Faithfulness helped him center his life in Jesus, in God. He would go away to the mountain to pray. And he spent all night in prayer. And you wonder, so how does that help? Well, after he spent his night in prayer, at one point he chose 12 disciples. He centered his life in God. He centered his life in God when he was tempted in the wilderness, tempted to make stones into bread, tempted to jump off the temple, tempted to bow down and create a shortcut. And he didn't. As a matter of fact, even before he died, he was sweating drops of blood. He didn't want to die, but he said, "Your will be done." And it's because of this death that we have life. It's because of this death that we have the life of God, and we can center our lives in God. And it's through this faithfulness, a gift from God, that we trust back. It's through this faithfulness that we worship God and that we go forward with God. And so, as we continue our lives in Christ, it's about depending and growing in our faithfulness in Christ. Not out of duty, not out of sense of obligation, but out of a sense of love. And the psalmist says that so powerfully in Psalm chapter 89, which was read earlier. He says, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. My mouth will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever and that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, 'I will make a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.'" And so we see the psalmist grabbed onto that. The psalmist realized it's God's faithfulness and his response in faithfulness that helped him to stay centered in God. And so faithfulness, as I've mentioned, has a way of changing our lives if we allow it to embrace it as a fruit of the Spirit. It changes through the boundaries we set. It changes through the direction in life that we sense God is leading us. It changes us through our trials, through our struggles, to lead us into compassion, and it changes us because we can constantly center our lives in Jesus. How do you walk in faithfulness and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit?